Welcome to Struggling Blessed But Not Alone podcast. This is a faith-based podcast where your host, Teresa, will share her life struggles with you, as well as interview others on their life struggles to show you no matter what is going on, God will get you through it. No storm is too big or too small for Him. Please sit back, relax, grab your favorite cup of joe or beverage. Enjoy today's episode. Here is your host, Teresa.
Hey guys, I'm so glad that I'm back on air. I know it's been a while. I really haven't given up on this podcast, but you know, I hope you've grabbed your cup of coffee. I hope you're ready because this is, I'm not even going to call it a new season because as I told you guys a few weeks ago or a few months ago, I'm in transition. I don't know what's happening, but I can never give up on this because God has never given up on me. Let me share some backstories. Yes, Grandma Struggles is still in the north of the North Pole. She went back home because she's dealing with Santa Claus, but she will be back soon. Anyways, but today we're going to do an interview, but also Luke Seiberg. Oh my God, you know, he's my joy, my blessing, my baby. He has just released his book. Yes, he came on here, as you all heard. If you haven't heard that interview, please go back and listen to Luke's interview, Blessing After the Crash, or is that what I called it? Forgive me. You know, it's always real, raw, and live when I do this, even though it's not live. But go check out his book. It is on Kindle right now. He's offering it, I think, for a few more days for free. If you get the e-version, it was called Never Saw It Coming. And as you guys got the firsthand, him talking about his interview, now he's got it written all down. And I'm just praying that someone at some point will pick up and make that story come to life on the movie screen, because it is a Job story. Again, if you haven't seen it, please, or haven't heard it, go listen to my podcast. Go get the book. It is a must read. He's such a gem. And of course, he's written obviously more books, but today I'm not here for that. I'm so glad you're with me. Today I have another great person. You know, I always talk about that Clubhouse thing, how that Clubhouse thing is just amazing. I've had some good things, some bad things. I've had a Braille display lent to me. I've had someone starting to teach me Braille. But today I'm so glad to introduce I'm going to tell you who he is. We're going to go to break and then I'm going to bring him on. His name is Tommy Jackson, and he is so much more than just Tommy Jackson. I could tell you who he is and what he is, but in a few minutes after I do that anchor commercial break or that sponsorship break, we're going to come back and hear all about him. But he is another reason why I cannot give up on this podcast, because he's given me, through being in the Clubhouse rooms, a word of wisdom and telling me, you can't. But I need him to tell you his story and why he just needed to come to Struggling Blessed But Not Alone podcast. So I hope you grab your cup of coffee, like I always ask you, sit back, relax, and get ready. Because after we hear the sponsor, we are going to be right on with Tommy. We'll be right back, guys. Hey guys, we are back, and I know hopefully that we get another sponsor soon, but I'm so grateful for that sponsor. But I know it's like Groundhog's Day, because it's like, it's the first day, and I know it's really not. So anyways, I'm so glad to welcome onto the podcast stage of Struggling Blessed But Not Alone, Tommy Jackson. Hello, Tommy. How are you?
I'm amazing, Teresa. How are you? This is going to be an awesome time. Thank you for having me in.
I agree. And thank you for agreeing. I mean, I'm always so blessed that I can find such great people. And I thank you, because in a few weeks, Tommy, just so you know, I'm going to, because of you as well, but because of God more so, you breathing some life into me, I've lined up some great interviews of people who have already has spoken to me to do this podcast and keep going. But it was just so wonderful to talk to you after a Clubhouse room and you to speak life into me and tell me not to give up. But today I don't want to talk. I mean, we could talk about whatever, but let's talk about you. I know you believe, I know you're a good man of God, but can you just start and tell my listeners your blessing story? I know you've got a lot, and I know I can share all the wonderful things you're doing in the world, but how, when you were born, what God set on your plate and what you asked God to do for you. Can we start there, my friend?
Yeah, we can start wherever you want. And man, if you go through the journey with me, it's probably not going to be as probably what the ending of where I am now in my life looks like. A lot of times I like to say that I guess I was born pretty close to hell, and you don't get to choose where you were born. And so, you know, I came into this world not knowing anything other than the life that I was born into. And that life that I was born into was a life of a father who kind of had lost his way, quite frankly. I think he was an amazing guy, but through drugs and alcohol and a lot of the things that can come as devices in our life, he turned into quite a tough man, and he was kind of head of organized crime. So my home was filled with a lot of violence. My home was filled with a lot of rage and a lot of negative energy. And, we saw the world from a different aspect, but it was the only world that I knew. You got to be born somewhere, and that's where I was born. And my early stages of my life was quite violent and quite bad and quite dark, but God had a different plan.
He always does, my friend. He always does. So with that, it's amazing how God can take you from hell to glory, back to wherever, but he's always there. He's never leaving you, as you know as well. So let's just start with age 9.
Man, it was really, it was one of those deals to where you got to see and experience love in a different definition. And people, I speak in a lot of, situations where people say, hey, you need to tell people to act right. Well, you act in the only environment that you know. And the only environment that I knew was this incredible man that some days said, I love you, I love you, and then would disappear for 3 days. And when he come home, love was described as, where have you been? Which would get into an incredibly violent rage and a lot of hitting and a lot of hurting and a lot of weirdness for a young person to go, wait, is that the guy who said he loved me that is now beating my mom and beat me and those kind of things? And so I just literally had enough of it. And I was fearful. I truly didn't know what to do. My dad was actually at the point of basically killing my mom on that particular night. And it was super, super crazy. And he had a knife to her throat. And he looked at me and he said, boy, wipe your eyes. No son of mine will ever shed a tear. And I remember it all so well. And I just didn't know what to do. So I ran and I hid under my bed. And I said, if there is a God. I didn't have church, a Bible, a cross, or a little fish on my bicycle, or none of that. I was just this scared kid that crawled under bed and said, if there is a God, don't let this man ever touch me. And I felt guilty for saying that prayer for a long time because he kept hitting my mom and my brother and my sister. But from that day forward, my dad never hit me again. And God spoke to me that night. I didn't realize that, from different church backgrounds and stuff, they have different belief systems of God speaking, but I heard God. It's that simple. And he spoke to me and he spoke life over me. He spoke this life over me. He spoke even this interview over me, that I would be able to have a voice among men and women across the world. And because of people like you, that is now happening. So yeah, that night changed my life forever.
Yeah. I'm different, just to share a little bit. I grew up in a house where, it wasn't easy. It wasn't, my mom was bipolar and stuff like that, but my dad always knew who the Lord was. And we went from many churches and we had many different things happening, but I grew up differently, where I didn't have a fish on my bike either, but we had a fish somewhere posted. There was a Bible probably in every room. There was some preacher, like, what do they call them? Televangelists, the TV, on the radio, in the car, but so I couldn't imagine not knowing God, but I think it's amazing that God grabs you where you are. He does.
And to be fair about that, we had God in our home. That was probably what was so conflicting. On my mom's side, my grandfather was a Southern Baptist minister. So on one side I was hearing, the gospel being preached and, the fire being brought. And on the other side, I was seeing the opposite of that. So I was kind of in the struggle of Ephesians 6, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities of darkness, man. And those were fighting in my own home. So my mom was an incredible believer to the day that she passed, which was this past Easter. Yeah, and my dad was a believer. My dad was a believer. It's just, I don't think we understand the power of some of these addictions and what they can do for you. And he was only man. And when he took his life to a direction of money and success in the dark world of organized crime, that also took in those flavors of all those things that he once was able to give to the Lord. He gave to, the enemy, and the enemy used that in its strongest way. So nowhere in there did we not believe in Jesus. That was probably the crazy, conflicting viewpoint in my life. On one day, it's like, I love you and God. And the next day, it's I'm beating the people that I love. So it was a weird sense of reality. It was the only reality that I knew. And it was very conflicting to anything that I could understand. And underneath that bed, I just heard a voice, and that voice spoke to me that day, and the voice still speaks to me now. And to the level I obeyed, it was the level I would understand, and that if I would follow him and lean on him and obey him, that he had great and mighty things for me. And I learned to go to that voice, and I call it going dark, which is so ironic, but I go dark and I go into quiet places and I disappear for 2 or 3 days, still this time period. And it's just where I, me and that voice, and that's where I found my peace and my direction, my confidence. And that allowed me to stand up and walk bravely through that darkness into a light that I still live in today.
Amen. Yeah. You got to spend time with God. And, you know, right now I'm struggling really hard with that, Tommy, but I do, I love every day with him, and I know that he's always with me and he'll never leave me. Well, why don't we go to a break for a minute? And then when you come back, or when we come back, sorry, like you're going to come back alone. No,
but when let's you, not.
when we come back, I want you to tell, once you said that prayer under your bed, tell me the next things that happened, what God was moving and shaking. But let's go to a break really quick and let me get something playing, and then we'll be right back, and then we'll get back to the next story.
Okay. Great.
This is Luke Seibert. I just published my new book, Never Saw It Coming, a memoir. This book tells a story about how I became blind and what God taught me through that journey. You can find the book on my website at hisministries.com, and there's also a link there to the Amazon page where it can be ordered as well.
Okay, we are back. And all right, Tommy, so now you've left under that bed, the next day starts or whatever happens. What does God do in the next segment of, like, after that? How do things turn?
You know, we'd like to believe we go to the altar and we walk out and everything's beautiful in our life. But as I got to read the word, that didn't happen for Job. It didn't happen for Paul. It didn't happen for Peter. It didn't happen for Moses, Elijah. It didn't happen to anybody like that. And so I would love to say it was that amazing story of just life perfect. But life still stayed in the same place. I mean, obviously, you know, it was still an incredibly dysfunctional environment, dysfunctional family, redefinition of love. But I recognized very quickly that I wasn't getting hit. And that at least gave me a confidence that this thing that I heard wasn't my own imagination and my own wishes and desires. There was something real. And I guess I was the doubting Thomas, right? I had to stick my hands into the side of Jesus. He gave me full message that day that he was alive and he had a plan for me. And so I started claiming what I heard under that bed, and I started walking in at least the confidence of saying no. And a lot of people say, how did you get out of that? I didn't know what to do, period. I was just a young kid. I only knew what I didn't want to do. And so for a lot of us out there that are struggling, we do the opposite of what's gotten us into the struggling place. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have the father figure. I didn't have this instruction or direction. I just literally made a pact under that bed that I would try to do good, and whatever was meant for evil, I would turn to good. And whatever he did looked super evil for me. So I did the opposite. So he decided to drink and I decided I would never drink. And he decided to do drugs, and I decided I would never do drugs. And he decided to hit women, and I decided I would never touch a woman like that. And so I just started living this life of opposite, quite frankly. And sometimes, as much as we want to complicate the world gets pretty simplified. If we're walking in darkness, if we're living a life that's really not the life of abundance we've been promised, plenty of times we just need to do the opposite of the things that got us in that place to begin with. And just taking those steps of opposite kind of made me start walking in a different confidence and a different light and experiencing the blessings of God differently. But no, I mean, obviously the environment didn't change, but my belief inside that environment started changing drastically.
Tommy, yeah. I'm going to stop you because I want you to, I don't know why I want you to repeat yourself, but I need you to repeat yourself because someone out there is listening to this right now. And they're I'm getting ready to tell you, they're thinking in their life right now, but this is what my parents had. So I have to live that same life. So tell me what you just said. You decided to do what?
I just literally decided to do the opposite. I just decided to do the opposite of everything that was being done and everything that was being done into me. And if it felt like pain, then the opposite of pain had to be something better and pleasure. And so I decided at that point, if my dad drank, I would not drink. If my dad did drugs, I would not do a drug. If my dad hit people, I would try not to do that. And that become a part of me that allowed me to start walking in a direction towards light. And if I would have followed that, and I say that, Teresa, in seriousness, because we don't even understand that there's a power in what we're being spoken over, and we have to be careful of that. So at a young age, they started seeing that change of direction, and they noticed it, and they started saying things literally like, Tommy's our good kid. Tommy's different. Tommy's going to make things out of himself. Now, Tommy, now he's not like it. He don't want to do any of those crazy things. Unfortunately, with my brother, Terry, they said the exact opposite words. They said, oh, he's a splitting image of his dad. He's just like Earl. He's going to grow up, man. He's wild. And he ended up being a drug addict, alcoholic, just like my dad, and died running from the police and broke his neck in a car accident. And so you wonder at that point, the power of those words, you know, as a man thinketh, so shall he become, says the Lord, but out of his mouth reveals the issue of his heart. And it just becomes so important to me that I was starting to live some biblical principles without even knowing the word and knowing them. I started walking in the gifts of what the scriptures actually are saying. And we have to be very, very careful that we don't believe, yes, there's generational sin, but there's also a father that came to give us new and a new creation. So I started adopting a heavenly father and disowning my earthly father until one day I could actually love my earthly father the same way that my heavenly father did, which was unconditionally.
Amen. Amen. I love what you're saying. I mean, I hear it through and through, and it is true. You've got to speak life over one another, not death, not bad words, but good words, just, you know, and everything means something. You know, just like we got to put fuel in our bodies and feed them correctly, we've got to clean out our ears and fill them with joy and happiness. So doing the opposite, I think, is so amazing that you decided that, you know what, I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z. And I kind of did the same thing in my life, Tommy. My mom didn't think she could do and be much, but I was like, nah, mom, there's a world out there for me. There's a world out there for me. And I'm not going to let it overpower me. God's got a story and a plan. And as much as it's not about me today, it's all about you, my friend. But just to share for a minute, I knew at a young age that this life is hard right now, but he is doing amazing things. And he created me to do something different, to do something powerful, and it's going to happen, but you got to keep speaking those words of life. And that's what I like when I met you, Tommy. Guys, just so you know, while we're talking, Tommy does this room on Clubhouse, and I know I've spoken about it several times because there's been so much a Soulful Sunday, and I think it's now been 4 weeks that you've been doing that.
Yeah,
Soulful Sunday.
Weeks. Yeah,
4 weeks. And I think I met Tommy, and I say meeting without meeting him, but listening to him in the podcast or in the Clubhouse rooms a lot sooner. Cause Tommy, I think a few weeks before that, maybe a month before, cause I remember the guy that doesn't speak very, he doesn't, you know, he lost his, I think he got a gunshot or something.
Yeah. Johan's like was shot in the head. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember being in a room that I think you were doing, and you were just speaking, you were speaking life over people. You were being so positive. And I think I remember him coming on. Must've been like a Monday or Tuesday or something. I don't really remember the day, but you were only doing a few minutes. And I remember, and I really seriously think that was you. I mean, I don't think it was anyone else, but then the next thing I remember 2 weekends ago, coming into a Soulful Sunday room and didn't know who you were. And, you know, you were trying to bring me up on stage with a few others and I kept saying, no, I don't want to go up on stage because so much has happened. I know the power of Clubhouse, and I know how I don't want to be on Clubhouse, but I'm so grateful that Sunday I listened. And the next Sunday I came back, guys, and this is how this podcast was brought to life. God kept saying, you need to interview him. You need to interview him. And I kept saying, nah, nah. And they kept inviting me up on stage. And at first I was like, nah, nah, nah. And then Tommy, what you don't know is you were going, all right, someone's got something to say. And I'm like, yeah, I hear you, God. I hear you. And then someone else spoke and I went, whoa, wasn't me. And then all of a sudden, Tommy, it got quiet and nobody said nothing. And then I was like, all right, I don't want to put this gentleman on, you know, you don't want to put someone on blast and go, will you do it? Cause I've had many people say, and it's okay. It's not their time. It's not, you know, I always tell people, Tommy, that when I say, here's my phone number, if they want to connect or not connect, I say, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's when it's God's timing, when God wants it to happen. So I just said, all right, I'm going to ask. And I did. I said, hey, this is Teresa Gafanti, and you don't know me in the story's history at this point, because we are now doing a podcast. So can you discuss go, keep going more current of your life after that prayer and or after that speaking. And because I hear you kind of like me, I did graduate high school, but I'm the first one in my family to graduate college. So I know you have a story like that. So please keep sharing. We'd love to.
Yeah, I mean, we started that journey and what ends up happening, and you said it so well, and I'm so thankful for the day that you did come on stage and you were obedient to that voice. And see, that's the whole thing a lot of times is God has given us all the direction, but we want to constantly get in the way of that voice and we want to pretend it's not there, but we got to know that we know that we know. And you got to be obedient to that voice. And you, yeah, sure, you test the spirits, but you walk where that voice was. And that voice started speaking to me. And I just started by just happen chance, starting to emulate what other people were doing that I wanted to accomplish in my life. And looking back, I see it was God's direction and steps. At the time, I'm just going through this incredibly dysfunctional life, right? So can't have friends to come over because I don't know when my dad to come in and what particular dad will come in at that moment, whether it be the good one that everybody loves or the one that everybody's running from. And so at the end of the day, I grew up just kind of saying, hey, I'm going to build friends and I'm going to surround myself with people that seem to be living a life that seems better than mine. And so I started developing those relationships, hanging out with those kind of people. And I recognized their lives were pretty dysfunctional as well, but it really wasn't as violent. So that gave me a safe zone. And then doors started opening up naturally. And you look back and you don't recognize those doors, but they're there. And God already has these people in place for you. And one of those people was Miss Van Houten. And she called me into, she was a science teacher. And she called me in and she says, Tommy, we don't get you. And I said, what don't you get? And she says, we don't get what's going on here. You're going into the 11th grade. You got through the first 6 weeks. We've been hearing about you and everybody's trying to figure out something. I said, well, I'm pretty transparent. It's not hard to figure me out. So ask away. And she says, we don't understand because you will be making a C or a D in every class that you have. And when it gets time for the 6 weeks and we're pretty sure that you're going to have to repeat a grade, you ace every test that we give you.
Amen.
And we don't understand how that's happening. Can you explain it to me? And I said, pretty simple. I study for the exam. And she says, what? I said, I study for the exam because I don't want to repeat a grade, but I'm just trying to get through high school. I got a life, you know, I'm just trying to live and I'm working two jobs to help. Now my mom and I, she's left dad and my mom and I are living outside of the family structure of my dad. And so it went from being organized crime and having things and money and all those things to me and her being incredibly poor. And she was a hard worker and man, she was out there doing the grind. And I was trying to, at that point, help her in high school by, you know, working as a bag boy in a grocery store. I'm not even sure they have those anymore. And so, she said, we don't get how you're able to do that, but yet you're not passing, you're not doing any of the other stuff. I said, most of your grades based off of homework and I don't have a home.
Oh, wow. Says,
what? I said, most of your grades are based off of homework and I don't have a home. And she says, I don't understand. I told her a little bit of my story that I've told you so far. And she says, oh my gosh, Tommy, we have to get you some help. And I said, there's no help. I have to make my mom money and I don't have time to study and I don't have the time to do that homework. That's not what I do. I go to a job. And she said, but Tommy, how do you do the other part? I said, I basically take 2 days and I study for your exam and I memorize it and then I go away. Didn't understand exactly what was going on at that time that I found out later in college. But she says, I'm going to help you and we're going to talk to the teachers and we're going to figure out something different. And she really restructured school to make it work for me. And the next thing you know, I was an athlete thinking I was going to play football and all that stuff. And I blew out my knee and all that stuff seemed to be going wrong for me. And she had pulled me aside and she built a structure with these teachers that allowed me to function inside that school system to where I could become a straight A student. And lo and behold, this little silly country boy from South Alabama with big dreams and a much bigger God found myself being given an academic scholarship to college, which was crazy for me. And it was a need-based academic scholarship, but I was the only one in my family to graduate high school. I'm positive I had the lowest IQ. My brothers and sisters are rock star smart and rock star amazing, but we were just trying to get out any way we could and go anywhere we could to get out of those dysfunctional environments. And so they did not finish high school. My sister went on and got her GED test, and she's brilliant and a great businesswoman today. But I ended up finding myself in college.
So Tommy, when we're going to take another break, just so we can, give you a minute to think and earn, not that we have to, but we just like to give some breaks sometimes, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk what you did in college and then what happened from there. Okay.
Sure. Love it. Thank you.
Do you have a story of a struggle that God has brought you through that you would like to share with the world? If so, Teresa Gufanti is inviting you to be a guest on her Struggling Blessed But Not Alone podcast. If you're interested, please send an email to teresa-blessings@outlook.com to learn more. That's teresa-blessings@outlook.com.
All right, Tommy, we are back, and I like this part of the story because I like what you went to college for, because I did touch in college. I went to college when I was 36. God gave me an opportunity. It was fully paid for when nobody believed in me, and if anyone does know me, they know what I studied in college, but I'll let you go from there. What were you studying in college? Mine is very close, but go ahead.
I was literally just studying. when I first got in, I was just studying. It seemed like in that time period, the American dream was you go to college, you get the job, you make a lot of money, and life comes over and over. And I made my little sister a promise. And I said, look, one day I'm going to go and I'm going to be a millionaire. And I'm going to take care of all of you guys. Setting up goals, right? Uh-huh. And I become a very big goal setter at that time. I was doing all the motivational stuff and all the Tony Robbins and Zig Ziglars of the world that came throughout my entire life. I was always studying high performance thinkers, and I recognized that my brain had been programmed. So I was very into reprogramming my mind with positives. And at that point, I met a girl in college that really, really introduced me, gave me my first Bible. And I started getting into the word and understanding that was it wasn't something I needed to study in Sunday school class to get my little stars on the wall. And it wasn't something I needed for perfect attendance. It was that if I had a dad, and I did, and he left, and if he loved me, and he does, he left behind this book, that's this playbook of life. And so I started reading the Bible, not as from the standpoint of memorizing scriptures. I started reading it from the standpoint, if you're my father and you got me out from under this bed, at 9.5, 10 years old, what else do you have in store for me? And I started reading it no different than you would read, your classes in college. And I fell in love with the word because he was speaking a way out for me. He was speaking structure. It was like something that I understood. And I was seeing the pain and suffering of all the people of the great stories of the Bible. And I was seeing the similarities, and I'm like, hey, my life looks a lot like them, and they got out. Maybe I can too. And I started finding the hope in the stories of all of the words of God. And so that was going along great. And I show up and I'm just feeling so out of place. I'm looking and everybody interviewing for academic scholarships. We have to interview. And it was Barber's Dairy in Alabama. And they were this great Christian-based firm, and they're interviewing me, and everybody, I'm looking around, and everybody looks exactly like it should if you're a straight A student, it looked exactly like those people. I was like living on a farm and getting my hands dirty, with cows and horses and all these kind of things. And here I am with all these incredibly professional looking, beautiful family people. And I'm like, I don't have a chance here, right? Mm-hmm. So I go in the interview and I'm like, Tommy, tell us something about yourself. And I said, I'm pretty the opposite of everything that I've seen out in the lobby. So I'm not sure, but this is me and this is who I am. And they fell in love with this simple country boy. Mm-hmm. And they gave me an academic scholarship. And so after the very first semester, it was actually quarters that we were on at that time. The first quarter I made 2 B's and an A, and I thought that was a rock star. And they pulled me to the side and they said, look, Tommy, if you're going to do this scholarship thing, this is not the GPA. And so we're going to pull your scholarship. And I said, what grades do you need? And they said, at this point, all A's. And I think it will look back if we look at the world, and I think that was the last B I ever made. I think the rest was A's throughout college.
Wow.
And so everything become, I wasn't a good student. I was desperate. And those two things are incredibly different. And God just had a plan for me. And that plan went from Satan trying to take it away from me to all the way to God showing me there's a way. And after the first year, they were like, we're super excited. We're going to give you our scholarship again. Everything's going beautiful. I've got this girlfriend. We're doing the church thing. Everything's going great. And then we finished the second year. And at that time, I was just a general major. And two things happened at that particular time. They announced to me that, unfortunately, Tommy, our bylaw says we can't give you the scholarship again. We'd love to. You've been super, super great. But we have to pull our scholarship from you. And I was working still two jobs and going to school at night. And so, you know, I knew the grind. I was still living at home with mom and I was helping her with her bills. And the next thing I know, I'm out of school. I don't have any funding and I don't have a scholarship. And I was like, what a practical joke, God. You know, you took me this far. But see, he never takes you to this place unless he has a plan of completion.
Ooh, say it again, Tommy. Say it again.
He never takes you to a place unless he has a plan of completion. And his ways are not our ways, and lean not unto your own understanding. And the next thing I know, I'm back working. I'm 6 months out of school and I'm just doing my grind. And the girlfriend at the time says, hey, you have this meeting for a scholarship at this place. And here's the address and be there by 12. It's a luncheon. And I've got to get you back in school. You know, you're a straight A student. And I said, no, I'm a desperate person starving to death. And I'm angry at everybody because now I'm going to have to do this, you know, these kind of jobs. But it was okay because that was just, you know, the only life that I knew. I didn't know a better life. And I was at least employed and I was working hard and me and mom were eating and that was all good. And so I get to this, place and I knock on the door and this beautiful lady opens up the door and she says, hi, who are you? And I said, I'm Tommy Jackson. She said, there must be some mistake. I said, not at all. And I'm Tommy Jackson. She goes, what are you here for? I said, the scholarship interview. And she says, there's definitely a mistake. She says, Tommy with an I, E or a Y. I said, whatever you want it to be, I can change it. If it's about a scholarship, I want to get back in school. And she laughed and she thought it was cute. And she goes, no, Tommy, the problem is this is the Women's Board of Realtor Scholarship and it's for a female. And I said, okay, probably not going to change that for you today, but that's okay. So we'll just call it a day. And she laughed and she thought it's great. She says, Tommy, I feel so bad. And you're the only person that we have set up. You're the last person of the day. And your resume, it looks so good that we wanted to have a lunch with you. And so the least we can do is buy you lunch. So come on in. And so I went in, this Women Board of Realtor Scholarship. I was the only male in the room, obviously. And we had lunch together and we laughed and joked and we talked and they asked me my stories. And I told them some of the stuff that you and I are talking about. And they asked me to walk outside and I did. They brought me back in. And the last 2 years, God played the best joke of all. I went to school the last 2 years of my college on a need-based academic scholarship for the Women Board of Realtors.
Hold up. Rewind that. Say that again, Tommy, because God is good. God is faithful. God will turn any disaster into sunshine. So I need to back the truck up, rewind, and I want you to say it again. You went to college on a scholarship for who?
For women.
Amen. My God is awesome.
Our God is an awesome God. That's
he
right.
Over heaven and earth. Amen. But I can't sing, so let's keep.
And so at the end of the day, a lot of times we looking for the answer that seems to be so right. And we wonder when God speaks and how he speaks.
Ooh,
and sometimes
yeah.
sometimes it's audible, but sometimes it's like Moses. He went through the desert and there was a burning bush. No, there's probably a lot of bushes burning in the middle desert. It was hot out there. This one was non-consuming. So sometimes when something makes no sense, that's when you say, oh, here you are, God, again. And it made no sense for me to be on a female scholarship. And I went the last 2 years of my college on a women's based need-based scholarship. And hallelujah to the Women's Board of Realtors and Barber's Dairy, because without those people, I would not have had the funding to be able to go to school. And that's the provision of God. His ways are not in our ways. Lean not into your own understanding. And with all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will open up those paths if you just keep walking and believing. But I still had to do faith without works is dead. So I still had to go to this interview. And I still had to use my personality, and I still had to use my transparency, and I still had to use my truths and all those things, and see sometimes those things of the past are actually your strengths. And because they felt so moved by my story, they wanted to give me an opportunity, and I took that opportunity, and I made the best out of it.
That's amazing. So what did you study in college? What did you end up getting a degree in?
I was so convinced that I wanted to be an attorney. I spoke well, I love speech, I love all those things. And I was going to be an attorney, and they make money and power and prestige. And I was totally convinced I was an attorney. And all of a sudden, I just heard that same voice that I heard when I was 9 and a half and 10, that voice that I heard when I was 13, that voice that I've heard too often say, I now have to declare a major. They said, you know, we need you to declare a major, and we need it to be in business. And so I was like, okay, let me figure out what I'm going to do here. And I heard this voice say, get out a piece of paper and write down all the subjects. And I did. And next to them, don't write down if you made an A or a B because you're excelling. Write down how they make you feel inside. And so I have communication. I love speech. I love logic. I love general business applications that I'd only taken 2 years of school. So I had, you know, beginner stuff, but a lot of the electives. And I loved in psychology. I loved and some of the business classes I loved. And all of a sudden I got to the word reading, and I put, I hate to read. And I got to English, and I said, I hate. And I started crying, Teresa, on that day, because I was in pre-law, and I hate to read. What are you doing that whole degree? And I went, oh my God, what am I supposed to do? Yeah. And so he said, get out another piece of paper and write down all the things that you love and what they have in common. And it was business, and it was psychology, and write down all the things. And so long story short, I went through three pages. And as I went through from business, write down the subjects and management, marketing, finance, accounting, which ones, how do you feel? And then the last piece of paper, write down who you are, what's your personality. And I couldn't do a 9 to 5, and I couldn't be in an office all the time and all that. And the only thing left on the piece of paper over 30 years ago was financial advisor. It was financial consultant. That's the only thing. It made no sense whatsoever. I was broke. I had no money. Didn't even have a checking account. That's for rich people that can sit there and go after their dads and their dad's friends and their mom's friends and all their connections and all these things. And only people I know are dead, but broke and crazy. So it can't work for me.
Tommy,
but that's what I set out to do.
So I want to share with you, even though you know the end of your story so far, we don't know our total end because God hasn't taken us up to heaven yet.
Right.
But I got to share with you, God heard your desire to your sister.
Right.
So he heard what you said. And I believe at that point he was giving you that desire, but you just had, just like guys, if you remember my podcast with Luke, when Luke got in that car accident, he was bitter. He didn't know what to do. And it's so funny that you say you pulled out a piece of paper. And I don't know if you've heard the story about Luke yet, but I hope you go back and check it out, Tommy. But anyways, Luke got in a car accident. He lost his sight at the age of 19. He's just driving home from church, and he was so bitter, and he's just talking to God, and he sits in a rocking chair, and he's like, God, just being bitter. And all of a sudden God says, pull out a piece of paper and write everything to be thankful for.
Wow.
So the day you were telling that story, I knew even more I had to do an interview with you, because it was kind of like, look, you did an interview with Luke just pulling out a piece of paper. Now look who's pulling out a piece of paper. So keep on going, my friend. But
I think it's that simple. I think we pull out a piece of paper with God, and he's the author of all pages, and he loves you like you. If I don't have any children, I chose not to have children to eliminate my dead's gene pool. There's one that Satan pulled over me. That's a whole different chapter, and that'll get in there. But at the end of the day, there it is. And the piece of paper. And so to the level I understand and obedience, to the level I understand. And so I changed my major to finance, took all of my electives in psychology, graduated top of my class in finance, had a second a minor in psychology. And those two were out there. And lo and behold, I am out in the real world, and I'm going to be a financial advisor. And that's commission only, with people offering me all kind of real income. I am now commission only, and I am failing miserably. Everybody was right. And so the guy that hired me said, look, I'll hire you. You will not make it. Your resume is so impressive. I'll give you an opportunity. I'll give you a desk. I will not give you any money, and you will fail. That was the way he offered me the job. I said, I need a job. I will take your job and I will not fail. If I do not reach your expectations within a year, you would not have to fire me. I will merely resign. I believe this is what I'm supposed to do for a living. So 6 months into it, I am dialing the phone 100 times a day and 100 people are hanging up on me and telling me never to call again. And I am working and I am studying and I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do. And the 6 month in, I set an all-time record for that office and the company. I did $200 in a month. They're all-time worst that anybody has ever done.
Sorry, but go ahead.
No, it's funny. It's funny. And here I am, dead broke with this great degree, with all this college, and I am failing miserably, and I'll never forget it. Mom says, Tom, we have struggled to get you through school, and it was for you to be able to make something out of yourself. And Tom, I think that you need to go take one of these real jobs. And I said, Mom, I heard from God on a piece of paper. And she said, maybe you heard God wrong this time. Right? Maybe you heard God wrong. How many times does the world tell you, maybe you heard God wrong because you're not getting what the world says that you should get?
Tommy, so I did. Go ahead. No, I'm hearing that right now from a lot of people because I left a job because of bullying and everything's falling apart, but I know I didn't hear God wrong. I just know because I know what the word says. And even though at that point you weren't sure probably what, you know, but so I take a different stance. It's gotten hard, but I know a lot of people that are listening are probably in that boat going, where are you, God? What's happening? But sometimes he's working in the darkest time when you think he's failing or you think you're failing. It's going to be your next leap of even glorious. It's just, who do you give thanks to when it all comes unfolding? But go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah. So that was it, man. At that time, now I'm having this deep relationship with God and he and I are in this partnership of life together. And I literally prayed that he would be my business partner. And I thought that was a good business partner to have because he was smart enough to know all the people that were trying to mess me over. He could actually know all the things that I should say and need to say. He knew the circumstances. He was going to put in my life the people that need to be put in my life. And at this point, I was failing miserably. And at the time, if you did $10,000 in a month, we're talking the mid 1980s, that was a lot of money. So if you did $10,000 in a month, they gave you a private office. I was in a little, you know, cubicle. And if you were to do, you know, that you got a, you know, your own office and an assistant assigned to your partial assistant. And the most that anybody had ever done in that office was like $17,000 in a month or something. And again, that was big money back in those days. And that right. was the big players in the game. So here I am at, you know, less than $300 for the month. And that's gross commission, which meant I got half. So I made $150 for the month and I'm working 100 hours kind of thing. So I did what I always do. I went back to my relationship. I went back to the garden. That's what I call it. I went back to the garden. Seeing the garden was just Adam and God, and it was good, you know, and they were talking and they were communicating and they had a relationship. And so I went back to that garden and I said, yo, God, are you there? Yeah, Tommy, where are you? It doesn't look like you're here, God, because you made a fool out of me because all these people, I said that a piece of paper, you know, I had all these plans. God, hello. You promised me and you said there'd be fruit of my labor. And that little bitty tree that was supposed to be bearing fruit when you walked by, Jesus, and it wasn't, you poofed it. Either poof this dream of mine or bless me, God. Show me I'm supposed to be here. I need a sign. Oh, your adulterous generation, there will be no signs. No, this agape loving God that I'm in the garden with, God, show me a sign. Well, he didn't like poof and say, okay, go call this person. But what ended up happening, I get a phone call from nowhere and said, hey, there's this guy, Gene Borges, down in Florida, and he does these money school investment seminars, and I think you should go see him. And so I did. And I drove down with a credit card. It's amazing they'll give you a credit card when you actually have no money. That's a whole different topic for a different day, but that's a trip. Yeah. I'm this young kid with a credit card with no money. And I go down to Florida. It's basically a 5-hour drive. And I watch this man talk. And I said, hey, I can do this thing. I can do this thing that you're doing right now. And he says, sure, kid. I said, the only deal is I need these slides, man. If you give me these slides, I can go back. I'll never be in your way. I'm in a different state. I want to teach money school. This is what I want to do. I don't want to sell things over the phone. I want to teach people about investments. This is what I'm great at. This is inspiring me. I'm not inspired to sell product over a phone. I didn't choose marketing. I chose financial advisor. And all of a sudden he says, here you go, kid, take them and make a copy. And I said, sir, He said, go down to Kinko's and make a copy. You know, for you guys that are old enough, you'll know what that means. For all you young guns, we didn't have all the emails and all those kind of things. And we didn't have all that scanning or anything. So I said, only one problem. I don't have any money. He said, Tommy, these things are like 5 cents a copy. It's 30 pages. I said, I know. He said, are you telling me you can't afford 5 cents a copy at 30 pages? I said, no, sir. He said, how did you get here? I said, on a credit card that I'm pretty sure that I can't pay. And he says, here, kid, have a good time. So I go back, true story. The only reason I share this is a lot of times that act of faith, you think it's a big thing you need to do. You think these major changes of life that you need to do.
Come on, Tommy.
And so here I am, the worst of all times. And I start calling people passionately and saying, this is Tommy Jackson with A.G. Edwards and Sons. Before you hang up. And of course they hung up. This is Tommy Jackson, A.G. Edwards and Sons. And before you hang up. And of course they hang up. And I kept persistently doing it. And before you hang up, I'm giving a free money school at your local library. And I picked a little city where nobody would go because I just wanted to try it out on them. I can't do it in the big city because that's too much competition. So I went to where nobody would go. I went to where nobody expect when you've done it to the least of these, you did it to me. And so I went to this little country town that didn't have any money, I thought. And 90 people showed up to hear me speak.
Wow.
And 2.5 months later, after I had met with those people, I broke the all-time record of that firm and I did $26,000 in a month. Demolishing their record. I went from the all-time worst they had ever had to the best that they had ever had in 2 months. How close are we to victory when we just keep looking at things our own way? And it wasn't a big thing I changed. It was a baby thing.
Tommy, I just want to say thank you. I want you to keep going, but I want you to say thank you because you are speaking to me, my friend, but keep going.
Amen. I'm speaking to me. Speaking to me because I'm on new ventures and every day the world tells me, but I just know I keep searching for that little thing. I keep searching for that fruit of my labor. And a lot of times people think that's accolades and money and rewards, but plenty of times it's a phone call. Plenty of times it's that little thing that if we just keep pursuing, just keep acting, he's already got it in place. But when we stop in fear, he can't bless us. And that's why there was not many miracles done in his own city. Because we just didn't believe. And all of a sudden, it woke up a new belief that God wants me here. And if God wants me here, then nobody can take it away. And so I started that journey on being a financial advisor. And that's where I started that walk.
Wow. So we're going to take one more break and then you're going to kind of wrap it up with what's going on currently, if you don't mind. And in this break, I want you to tell them your favorite Bible verse. So we'll be right back, guys, but ready to listen to what his favorite Bible verse is when Tommy is leaning on hard times.
This is Tommy Jackson, and I'm having an amazing day with Teresa, and I hope you are as well. But this is my favorite verse. It's Matthew 34, and it's simple. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The power of the day. Much love.
Everybody, this is Anne from the Inspirational Journeys podcast, and I'm here today with
Teresa from Struggling Blessed But Not Alone podcast. How are you today, Anne?
I'm doing good. How about you, Teresa?
I'm good. So what's up?
I've got some news for you.
Really? What's that?
Did you know that our listeners can support our podcasts?
No. Can you please share more about that?
Okay, so while you're listening to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform, hit the Support This Podcast button. With your contribution of 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99 a month, you're helping us achieve our goals.
Wait a minute, Anne. Are you telling me all that our listeners have to do is hit that support button and they could give a donation?
That's right.
Wow. Hey guys, thanks for wanting to do that for us. Have a blessed day. That is an amazing Bible verse, Tommy. All right. So give me some more of your story. Keep going. Cause I know you now, you do a lot in this world. You're getting ready to give up one of your companies or in the next 10 years and you're doing something new with people.
Yeah, we'll put it on warp drive. I mean, we can put it in all those places to where, you know, I made the career, blew the career with the ego, built the career back with God and all those kind of journeys along the way. And that's the beauty of it. God doesn't stop this whole thing. It's not like I say a prayer, I go to the altar and my life goes straight uphill. Life's an amazing roller coaster. And sometimes when I'm feeling super, super, super mad and angry at God, you know, I can express that because he knows the thoughts before they form and so out of my mouth. So, you know, it's one of those deals to where it's there, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, you have this incredible roller coaster ride with God, but he's always good. And it doesn't seem like it sometimes. But I remember here I am and I'm going, yes, 30 years old, and I call my sister. Yeah, please go ahead.
No, sorry. So I hate cutting you off, but you know, as you talk about that several times, like the pages don't flip fast through. And I know I've said this on Soulful Sunday at the end of last week's, not this, you know, 2 weeks ago when you were talking and you keep saying that, you know, it doesn't a poof and it doesn't happen. You're absolutely right. Look at the Bible, look at our playbook. I've always called it a playbook as well. Joseph, we've got Noah who built the ark, we've got Adam, we've got, you know, all of them. When we read through these stories, because we're flipping pages and we've got the ending of the story, it seems like it was yesterday. Like it just happened 1, 2, 3, boom, boom, boom. But some of these stories, like Noah, took 128, you know, it took over 40 years for, you know, for the manna. I mean, there's so many. So as it's time. If you're going through a drought right now, God never promised it would be easy, Tommy, as you know, and as you're living it and you're, you know, and it sounds, as much as we hear the hardness and we see what God's doing, you're right. It takes time. Then we don't know when God's going to drop that nugget of here you go. This is the next, you know, I promised you this and I'm going to give it to you, but it's in his timing, in his readiness.
It's literally an obedience.
It's and obedience.
Who are we, man? Come on, our maker. Forget all the other amazing people and examples of the Bible. Our Jesus. Come on.
Absolutely.
It was up and down in a roller coaster. And at the end, his best buddies, man, left him hanging. He's doing miracles. He's putting back on ears. And within hours, they're disappearing and he's lonely and he wants that whole thing taken away from him. And he's beat and crucified. Who am I to sit here and say that my life should be better when my maker, when my creator,
absolutely,
when the love of my life didn't end well for him. I'm just saying, you know, it ended well for us because of him, but it didn't end well for him.
And absolutely. So, yeah, could you put your son on a cross? Would you put your son on a cross for the world?
Not.
I don't think I wouldn't do it either,
not.
But he did it for us, the grace and the mercy that God has given us through our son. So he knows we're sinners before we're born. He knows what we're going to do. He's got
exactly
our story written, but just like you said, Tommy, you know,
but are we
why
brave enough
we
to walk the story? Are
exactly
we brave enough to walk the story?
There you
and
go,
so,
Tommy.
He
go
says,
ahead.
Work as if you're working into the Lord, not as a human master.
Yeah.
And so therefore, I was doing the work and he was blessed. And I called my sister at 30 and say, hey, I've done it. And she says, you've done what? I said, I told you, millionaire by 30. Celebration and all those things. You think it's lonely at the top. No, it's incredibly busy at the top with all the people needing and wanting and desiring and pulling and pushing. And to this day, I would say 99% of the people that text me want something. 99% of the people that email me want something. All of a sudden, I had built this super Tommy that was not even relatable to my own family. And when my brother died, they hugged my other brother, they hugged my sister and they looked at me and said, fix it. And I still remember how broken I was that they didn't even see me as a little brother. They just wanted to cry. And so I developed this world of, you know, Wall Street and success and mentoring. And there's so many layers of that, Teresa, it would take hours. You know, we brought people into our home and mentored them. And over 100 kids lived with me and grew with me that ended up being super successful in the world and all these amazing things. And so I was out there speaking on the tours and giving back and doing all this crazy stuff. There's a year 2012 where God broke me as a whole episode of its own. And here we are climbing all those things. And all of a sudden I'd reached a place to where I'd accomplished a lot of things in life and been blessed at the highest levels. And My firm, Jackson Wealth Management, had just 10 out of the last 10 years been written by Forbes and Barron's magazine as one of the top investment firms in America. And here's this little simple country boy. And I spoke in Chicago in the late 2017, early 18. And I did my rag to riches story, kind of what we're doing today, but much more, you know, kind of geared towards the secular world and success. And 400 young people in 3 days came up and said, "You've inspired me not to kill myself or to get help for addictions." And I was like, whoa, time out, God. This is a whole different thing. And I tried to let those people go. And I would walk in my office and I always said, if you wonder if it's Friday or you don't want it to be Monday, please just turn in a resume to me and I'll get you a new job, because work really stinks, but gifts and calling, they're amazing. You should never feel like that you're working. You should always feel like that this is your place in life. And all of a sudden, this place that I had grown up so comfortably with, the success of Wall Street and money and power and prestige and accolades, they suddenly felt foreign to me. They actually felt dirty to me, and I didn't want to be there. Yet I was doing great quality ethical stuff. It just didn't make the same amount of sense to me. And I started praying. And so for the better part of 6 months, I would ask God, you know, what do you want me to do with Jackson Wealth Management? And the only thing I could hear was that same voice under the bed at 9:30, 10. The only thing I could hear is, Tommy, why do you keep it? And I gave him answers every time. You know, look how I can do philanthropically. Look at the work I'm being able to do. It's a tough economy. I have all these families for decades. It's depending on me. My family still has to. I had all these great reasons, but I had no peace. And if I have no peace, I keep searching, and I don't search for other people or things. I go back to that dark place and going dark, and I just go searching. I'm like, God, 6 months. And the firm Merrill Lynch had done a transitional program for advisors. If they wanted to transition their team to their juniors, they would pay you over 5 years to make that transition. And 5 years wasn't where I wanted to be. And so I'm down to the last 2 days before that deal goes out. And I go, God, what should I do with Jackson Wealth Management? And Teresa, as sure as we're talking here right now, mm-hmm. I hear, why do you keep it? And I was angry. And I just stood up off my knees and I said, I don't know, God, why don't you tell me? I've been telling you for 6 months why I keep it, but you keep asking me the same question. And I heard as clearly as me and you are talking, because it's become your God.
Ooh, because it's a money.
And I called immediately to my team and I said, look, I'm out. You guys can't afford it. You guys can't afford me. I'm going to be the CEO until 2028. I'll let you pay me for my own company out of my own money. I will only work 3 days a month. I have to go try to make a difference in the world some kind of way. I have to. This is what I have to do. I can't serve two masters. And so I let the company go. It still has my name on it, Jackson Wealth Management. It'll be there in 2028, and I'm the CEO. And I had this thing that we developed called the power of your walk, which is the power of your words, your action, your love, and your knowledge, that we were doing in middle school, high school, colleges, and corporations about self-empowerment, self-awareness, and self-empowerment. I had the Rising Star Roadshow, which was a musical firm. I own a major publishing company that has 4,000 songs and represents over 14 writers and 30 artists. We do a lot of music and film, TV, and just had a number one on Billboard and all these kind of amazing things. So I was ready to go out into the world and tell the world all these amazing things and how to do. And then God played another practical joke in my life. And it's just where I'm at the season. And all of a sudden, you can't go out on tour because of this thing called COVID, and you can't go to the corporations because this thing called COVID, and you can't go into the schools because this thing called COVID. And so, all of a sudden, I was shut down. I couldn't do everything that I had left my company to do. And versus getting angry at God, I think wisdom comes with age and gray hair. And versus getting angry at God, I was like, yo, God, we've been here too many times. What are you trying to tell me? And he says, hey, remember under that bed, I said that you would have a voice among nations. You've only talked to America. You've only talked to America. And he gave me this thing called Clubhouse, to where you can come on now. And there's people from all over the country on those Sunday mornings getting to worship and getting to talk and getting to love and getting to cry and getting to heal. And see, without that pandemic, I would have never had the fulfillment of underneath that bed. And that bed led me to you. So I'm very thankful for that.
I'm thankful too, because as you heard that voice of God say, you need to speak to nations. He didn't really tell me, but when my dad was passing away, just to share some more with you, Tommy, because I know you know some, but I was told all my life I needed to write a book because my life was changing and my blindness. I never knew I'd be this blind, but and I sit underneath a good pastor at a good church and a really good pastor named Dr. Tony Evans. And I'm grateful. And he knows who me, and they don't do much for me, but they do enough for me because they're praying for me. And that's all I need. I don't, you know, they're people just like anyone else. So as COVID started, my dad had died. COVID was already happening. God tells me I need to speak to the world and tell the world. And then all of a sudden I get welcomed into Clubhouse, and I meet many different people and many different things. And I've told, you know, my podcast has even told a story how there's a great guy named Danny DeHeck that I met who said he'd never listened to my podcast. And he was a Jehovah Witness, and now he didn't believe. And then all of a sudden he does an interview with me, just like I'm doing an interview with you, but a little bit, just 20 questions or 12 questions with Danny DeHeck. And all of a sudden after that interview, I'm sitting there crying, going, because he's an atheist, going, God, what am I doing? And I couldn't speak the way I wanted to in Clubhouse, but it's all being recorded. Well, that next day, God's saying, I told you I needed to speak to the world.
Wow.
I'm like, wow, but why can't I be in the church? Why can't I be in the church? It's safer. He said, no, no, no. And I was talking to my friend Ann, because we were on the podcast together, and she was kind of sad, like, we're not supposed to talk to atheists. And I said, no, we are supposed to talk to, we're not supposed to be comfortable. And I knew that, but God was already sharing that with me. So he just said, you know, and when I listened back to the podcast that I did with Danny that day, even though I couldn't speak and I heard what was being said, he orchestrated exactly what needed to be said. So I do agree, as much as we have a different story and I'm interviewing you, I heard that same voice, like, you need to tell your story. And I did give up. And when I met you, you set a light underneath me, going, what are you doing, Teresa? God's already given you a plan. You woke me
up. So amazing.
It is. So anyways, keep going with your story. And I know you have a lot of amazing artists that you hear from every day and that follow you on that Clubhouse room. But it's, again, not about me, but I like to add a little bit of whisper in my story as well sometimes, because it's all about communicating and sharing. But yeah, my friend, I'm so grateful that you're a great man of God. I'm so grateful that, you know, you don't have to go to church every day. I mean, church is good. I'm not against church either. I hear you say that all the time. I love my church. I love my pastor, but I love my Lord so much that he will bring me in the valleys and the areas that I need to go, but it is scary. And you're talking to me, Tommy, this whole interview, as much as it's for whoever needs it out there and whatever's going on, everyone hang on, anyone who's listening to this, even if it's just one that listens to this podcast, I know it's going to reach many ears, but it will resonate to the one that needs to. But I thank you for, we're not done yet, but I thank you for telling the story again to me, because I need it too.
It's our story and it's our journey. And that's what that they don't understand too often in the world, is we have been built to be broken as a whole and whole with togetherness. It's impossible for us to be who we need to be without others. And that's Corinthians. I mean, he's given somebody to be the hands, the feet, the eyes, all those things. And as much as the tragedy of your vision, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that tragedy. I really can't. But I know that through all those intentional evil things that happen to the world in life, that people try to put some resolve to or even explanation of, the fact that I walk in faith says exactly that. And it says that I have to walk in that darkness to experience all those places and journeys he needs me to go. And I think that was the purpose of Job. And, you know, there's a guy who says, hey, look across the earth. And if you can find somebody, well, you know, I'm glad I would be passed over, because I ain't like Job. He was too good. You know, they'd have passed right by me and got to Job. And so what I try not to do is get hung up into the controversial ways that we can act towards each other based off of the word of God. But I try to act off of the simplicity of the word of God, and with all of its complexities, and it can be, and with all its theology, which is beautiful and wonderful to study, there's still the simplicity. He says, come to me as a child. And for a lot of people, they really aren't at a place to where they can dig as deep spiritually. They're not at a place where they can get into the word of God. As a matter of fact, they don't even want to read that word, because that word has not been able to be manifested in their life. And to them, it's a lie. And so those are the people that I usually find myself hanging out with and speaking with and talking to. And sometimes that puts me in some really gross places and dark places. And I got to be careful that that doesn't rub off and become my character. And I got to remove myself plenty of times from those spaces. But I think that we've been put together for, as a people, for a better whole. And I just live off the fact that he said at the end, I've given you faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And I don't look at that just as an expression. I dig into each one of those expressions of what does that actually feel like and mean. So if you take the opposite of those things, the opposite of hope, that's a terrible place to be. Yeah. So hope must be amazing, because lack of hope is crazily tough, but yet love is greater than hope. If I look at faith, which will remove all mountains and it'll make miracles, but yet love is greater, then that word love has to be super powerful. And then I kind of track it through. And when he says that of all these commandments, which ones do I obey? I was expecting Jesus, of course, to give thou shall nots, but he didn't. He just gave thou shalls. And he gave the thou shall being that love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And we have to slow that down. That's a real love. That's a real love towards our Father. That's a real love. And you have to have that love.
And then love your neighbor. Like, what is it? Love thy neighbor as you
love thy neighbor as you would love yourself. But the key to that word is, and when I break that down the same way I broke down faith and hope, here's where I found. He said, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. And what I found out is we don't have enough self-love. So I joke and say, it's real deep, and we have to go there.
You're right.
We have to go there.
Go ahead, there, brother.
What he's not saying is, he's not saying love thy neighbor as you should love them. He's saying love them as you love yourself. And what we're seeing is a reflection of a lack of self-love. The reason we hate is because we hate ourselves. The reason we don't give is because we only take. And so when we start looking at that from its depth, I love me some me. I love me with my inefficiencies. I love me with my sin. I love me with my transparency. I love me with my greatness. I love me with my weakness, because that's the way that Christ sees me. He sees me perfectly and wonderfully and beautifully made in the image of a mighty King. And so when I start loving me some me, then I can love me some you. And until I love me some me, I really can't love you. That love will be conditional. It will be motivated off of need and want and desires, not off of the agape love that we're meant to be. And so I think that this world is really facing a crisis of lack of self-love.
Absolutely. Wow, Tommy, this is a powerful, powerful interview. I'm so thankful that you would share your story with me and just be obedient to God to do so. And oof, yeah. God's got an amazing journey for each and every one of us. We just need to dig in and hold on and keep on praying and keep on being obedient.
Yeah. And I think the key to it is like, even in my prayer life, man, my prayer life is so different than it used to be. There's so many things I prayed over that I am so glad the Garth Brooks song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. Man, exactly. there's so many things I thought I wanted. There's so many plans that I laid out, but it says his love is greater and wider and his plans are so much greater than ours. And yes, we need to put our plans down and we need to lay them before the Lord. Yes, that we need to go through that process of obedience and knowledge and all those things. But at the end of the day, I don't really want to know the outcome. I just want to be honoring the journey. And the journey for me gets back to that verse that I quoted in Matthew. And it literally is a reverse for me. I say that life doesn't begin or end at a certain age. It truly begins and ends every day. And if we looked at this life as it's supposed to be, I can't change yesterday. I wished I could probably, but then I don't. As soon as I say those words, life doesn't have regrets for me. It has opportunities for me to grow and learn, but I did what I did. And I can't go back wishing I hadn't. Those things I did, and I'll own them and I'll honor them and I'll try to grow from them, but I'm not going to bring them with me. So I call myself the page shredder.
I was waiting for that. Go ahead.
if we're the author of our book, and we are, and he gives us free choice. That's why there was two trees in the garden. If we're the author of our book, and we are, and we're writing this book out there in life, and that book of life will be led and opened up before our King one day, then it's real simple. I'm going to do exactly what he told me to do and not to worry about tomorrow, because who by worrying can add one single hour to their day. And so here's what I do. I live each day as best I can. And certain days, they suck. I'm a bad version of me. I would let you down in so many definitions of let you down. You would be, why do I even talk to this person? But here's the deal. Before that night falls, so the enemy can have no foot. So I actually go before the throne and ask for forgiveness for even the things that I don't even know. And he says, I'll hear you and I'll forgive you to the level that you'll forgive others. So I also let all those people that hurt me go. And I let those people that were bad to me go today. And I try to make it all as best I can right. And I live independently. So if it's a terrible day, I shred it. If it's a good day, I add it to my book. And here's the deal. If I write 5 good days out of 7, I'll have a pretty good week. If I write 3 good weeks out of 4, I have a pretty good month. If I write 10 good months out of a year, I have a pretty good year. And if I write 8 good years out of 10, I have a pretty good life. But it means a couple years are going to suck. They're going to suck, people. They suck for me. They suck for you. They suck for everybody. The only difference is when I'm going through those valleys of darkness, I remember the promises and I remember the words and I remember the challenges. And I know that every single one of those promises said that he will get me through it and I will endure and he will give me back to where I have wings and I'll fly like the eagle and I'll run with the deer. And so in these tough times, and this has been a tough 2 years for the music business, been a tough 2 years for everybody. It's been a tough 2 years for motivational speakers. And then these times, he has made me grow. He's made me learn. He's made me appreciate different nationalities, different concerns, different convictions, different races. He has brought more awareness to me that has empowered me to put one more rock in my little side satchel like David. And in that rock, I just need it at the appropriate time. And see, David wasn't such a great rock thrower. He just merely needed to throw the rock. His faith through the rock. God guided the rock to his Goliath. What Goliath are you running from versus just picking up the rock and throwing it?
I'm 100% not a pastor.
I'm 100% not a pastor. I am a child of the Most High
God. Amen.
No, I mean, obviously I get to speak in a lot of churches and those kind of things, but a pastor carries a different role. And I don't have that calling on my life, but we're all pastors.
Amen. Absolutely.
Every single day. And we're all giving our testimony every single day. And we're all carrying a flag, and that's what I call it. We're carrying a flag, and our flag has, these corners on it. And on these corners, in the middle of that flag is an attachment, and that attachment has many words. And so is that flag that you're waving, is it worth fighting for today? And it is. The flag that you've been given, and I don't know what it is, who's listening, and I know, Teresa, your flag is super powerful, and I see a lot of the words on that flag, but the flag that you raise up in the morning, that flag has a definition, and it can be fear, and it can be oppression and depression, it can be addiction, and then God has another flag that says, I wipe it white as snow, and you get to rewrite it with all your goals and your dreams and desires. And see, a lot of people right now are going, yeah, but he doesn't know my story. Well, your story stays the same. Your story stays the same because your story keeps being the same. If you want to write a different story, you have to let go and let him clean that flag. Write your dreams and your goals back down and stick them up before him and honor him and watch him take that flag. And all of a sudden, without you realizing it, one or two people are following your flag. And without you realizing it, a door is being opened up. And without you realizing it, the flag starts getting powerful. And then when the flag starts getting powerful, then trust me, the enemy is going to come in and try to take down your flag. And that's where you have to fight. And that's what Ephesians says. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities of darkness in this world and the heavenlies. And he didn't say if, he said when the enemy comes. So the enemy's coming. And then he put on all these defensive things like the breastplate of life and the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth. And I looked at that, and that's all defensive weapons, but he only gave you one offensive weapon, and that is the word of God, right? That is the spirit of God. That is the sword. So he says, to make sure that when the enemy comes, take on that sword. And that sword is the word of God. So when those enemies come in my life, I just merely sit down and I've got these group of scriptures that I keep in my notes, in my iPhone, and I just read them back to God and say, hey, God, remember me? You said you had plans for me to prosper and plans for me to do. If it's not so, you told me. But then all of a sudden he goes, yeah, but Tommy, you got to read the rest of that. And the rest of it says, when you seek me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. So when I get lost, and I do, I don't try to find my way out. I try to find my way to the throne. And then I know that he's going to send all of his angels. And like in Daniel, he said, hey, I've been trying to get your prayer for 30 days, but they've been stolen. So we had to get Michael to come I understand that spiritual warfare, and I'm just not going to try to fight the enemy with flesh because he'll kick my behind pretty hard. I'm just going to go back to the promises of God and be a child and say, yo, Dad, I have no clue. And that's what it means by coming back to the garden.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love everything you've said. I concur. I just, you know, I know I'm in a valley, but he's right alongside me, and he knows when he's going to pull me out and how it's going to be. And it's just the obedience that I need to keep walking along. And I know someone's listening, Tommy, someone other than you and me, someone, whether it's today, tomorrow, after I put up this podcast, that's going to touch the right person, just how it does. And I'm thankful for God every day that he uses me and you as a vessel to say, this is what he's done in our lives. So I thank you for the interview today. If you could leave my listeners with one last thing before we close out, where could they find you besides in the rooms of Clubhouse? Where's the best place to catch you? Where can they find more of you? Whatever you want to leave them.
There's a lot we're changing and coming. Typically you would have found me, you know, speaking out in the circuit where people were, you know, hiring me to come in and all those kind of things. But we started doing the Tommy Jackson. You go to TommyJacksonOfficial.com, TommyJacksonOfficial.com. And there's also a YouTube channel that's starting to do some motivational stuff and some speaking stuff on there. And so there's probably going to be more of those kind of channels that you can tap into. So stay following there. First Note Play is where a lot of the Instagram stuff is. So firstnoteplay.com. And there's a lot of amazing music on there. But where you can usually find me, and what I would like to leave, you know, everybody with is we have all been given an amazing gift. There's not one person that God didn't create to be uniquely special and different. There's not one person, not one, that's not been given a life that's a life and a life abundance. And your cup will runneth over with new wine. And at the end of the day, what happens is we stop believing and we start partnering and we start selling that gift to the world, of which they never, ever will use it properly. And so my challenge to anybody that is listening, go back to the throne. He hasn't left. Don't make it so over the top, churchy. Just go back. And that's what I mean by going back to the garden and walk outside wherever you're at. I don't care if you're in New York. Just walk out and scream, yo, God. And he says, if you seek me, you'll find me. If you knock, the door be open. And I think there's a lot of people that just needs to go right through that door because he's waiting. And they don't need a partner. They don't need a 1-800 number, God. They don't need anything. They need to just go, yo, God, this life sucks bad. And then get on your knees and say, do with me whatever you want, God. I give up. I surrender all, and watch him pick you back up.
Yeah. I know that I say, Tommy, a lot of times to people, I've written some blog posts about just, you know, instead of picking up that phone today, just pick up your phone to God and just, you don't have to say, dear Heavenly Father. I mean, you can, you don't have to, but just say, yo, God, like you said, just say, hey, where are you at? I need something to, like you said, to take him, be in that garden with him. I totally love every bit of this. And I love that you're telling people to go to the throne, because that's actually, he'll meet you wherever you are with whatever. I don't care what you did yesterday, guys. I don't care what's going on. I don't care if you think, well, I drank yesterday, or I smoked some weed, or I yelled at my sister. He's still going to meet you where you are and work it out with you. He's going to do whatever, but it's going to be during his timing. And Tommy's story, my story, any story that I've done on here, anyone that believes and has faith, all you need is a mustard seed. And that tree's going to grow. And he's going to take you to places you've never imagined, things you never thought you can do. He'll take you there because he's taken Tommy when Tommy was 9. Tommy, did you think this is how your life was going to be?
Not even close. Like I said, he's taken me Absolutely. Further in every aspect of my life, way beyond what I could have ever put down in a think tank, in a business class, in a church room, or whatever. It's an intimate relationship, and you have allowed me to voice that and given me that voice to your family and your people. I am super grateful for, and I honor you.
I'm grateful too. I want you to honor God before you, but I hear you, and I know, and this is only
because we have to honor his prophets and his queens and his
Absolutely.
Kings.
Absolutely. I hear you. I honor you.
I understand. Here's what I will say. And I just want to end on this because this is what's so great. What ends up happening is the church has told us, and I'm not anti-church. I'm anti-this.
I hear you.
Church has told us this world of this word called humility. So we can't walk in our strength with power, and we can't walk in our strength with might. If you look at the great warriors of the Bible, they didn't step down and apologize to anybody or water it down. I am speaking, you are powerfully and wonderfully made. Me. I have been a servant of you, Teresa. Underneath you, serving you, not above you, not even next to you, below you. And here's the deal. We're made in the image of our God. And when they asked him who he was, he said, just tell him, I am. They're like, who? Who's that? He said, I am the great I am. And I am an heir to that throne. If all of a sudden the prince or the princess of some foreign countries walked into the cities of New York, people would be like, who's that? They're going to carry themselves a certain way. They're going to act a certain way. They're going to believe a certain way. They're going to be perceived a certain way. And then they're going to receive the blessings a certain way. You are an heir to the throne. And in this situation, I am submissive and below you, Teresa. You have given me a voice and I'm thankful for it, but you are the power source. So thank you for being that.
You're so welcome. And I'm so grateful that God gave me the power to breathe light into me every day of my life, from the day I was born to today, to when my dad died and said, Teresa, you need to do this. So I'm so thankful. So on that note, guys, I am so grateful to get another Struggling Blessed But Not Alone podcast done, but this won't be the last. And I want to leave you as you know, pray over you. I pray that no matter what you're going through, you understand that he is for you and not against you. Yeah. He is mighty. He is mighty. So lean in on him. And like Tommy said, go to the throne. All right, guys, have a great week. And I will see you next time on Struggling Blessed But Not Alone.
You have been listening to Struggling Blessed But Not Alone with your host, Teresa Gafante. Remember, no matter what struggles you face in life, with God on your side, you are never alone. If you like what you heard on today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast, share it with your friends, and leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. Also, you can visit teresa-blessings.blog for more inspirational content. Thanks for listening. Have a blessed day.